broadcasting live from Roberta's in Bushwick, Brooklyn. You're listening to HeritageRadioNetwork.com.
Good morning, everybody. I am Jason Colucci, and this is The Morning After, broadcasting live from Roberta's Restaurant on the HeritageRadioNetwork.com. My main man, Jack Inslee, on the one.
Hey.
And ones.
The one.
The ones. I'm extremely proud, and Patrick Martins is extremely proud. Everyone from HeritageRadioNetwork.com is extremely proud. All of our shows here, we are a 501c3, which is essentially an NPO and non-for-profit organization, which means if you make a donation, it is tax-deductible.
Yeah.
So for all you one percenters that we make fun of all the time, you guys can actually give us money and we can make you look bad. But there's an important party coming up I want to talk about on March 21st. Let me read here. Heritage Radio Network salutes shows that have reached the 100th episode mark. On March 21st at Santo's Party House, Heritage Radio Network hosts will come out to celebrate, and the party is open to the public. Beer Sessions Radio, I love that show, so hot right now, will be there because there will also be some amazing artisanal spirits, craft beers, wine, cheese, chocolat, and charcuterie, along with Heritage Radio Network superstars like myself, Jason Colucci, at the Jason Colucci on Twitter, and some of the most innovative voices in food and drink today. It's going to be a great night, so get your tickets today. For more information, follow links on Heritage Radio Network page, or the Morning After page, www.heritageradionetwork.com, and support programming here on the Heritage Radio Network. You know, that's a fun party for a lot of different reasons. There's going to be a lot of people that are presenting food and drink there. On top of the fact of, you know, not the, oh, you're going to meet, you know, the illustrious Anne Saxelby, as we all much we love her. Just the idea of just coming out and supporting stuff. You know, anyone that works in kitchens or listens to the thing, you know, we try to make this as cost effective as possible, so there's no crossover to the consumer. But, you know, like we're essentially like a Channel 13 now, so it's nice that we can reach out to our listeners and say, hey, listen, instead of, you know, if you're going to make a donation, and whether it's $50 or $100, you can, you know, right now you can make this a tax deductible thing. It's been an interesting 2 weeks. We're back in the studio now. We're here live at the Roberta. What is it? The Roberta's Clubhouse, Jack? Is that what you call it?
Yeah. I mean, on a good day.
Roberta's Clubhouse. And I love Roberta's this time of year. I mean, I love Roberta's any time of year. But the weather is nice. Brunch is a booming. And I'm excited to be here. You know, we did the restaurant show last week, and we're only really able to put about four or five interviews on, only for time constraints. You know, the morning after, as much as I'd love it to be 3 hours, it can't be. So we asked some guests that I love that are here in studio. Thomas Dunnigan from Micros, we're going to interview. And Charisse, I don't know your last name. I'm sorry, I'm not...
Charisse is good. I'm like, Charisse.
She went out to her car for a second. I don't know what she went out for. We're going to ask her about that before we do it on studio, because usually I do that. But Jesse Kiefer, producer of The Morning After, is on assignment now. She's in San Francisco, as I like to call it, Frisco. Jesse Kiefer, word up.
Hey, bud. How you doing?
What's going on? How are you?
Doing really well.
How is your
vacation?
How's your vacation going? It's going well. I've retweeted you, just so you know. I'm dyslexic, hence why I put the E before the I on your name.
Well, this is I before E, except after C, right?
Yeah, but you know, that was before dyslexia and all these medications they give kids. I mean, you know, so I'm a product of that. I'm sitting here. We're missing you and Aaron. What's going on? So tell me something about your experiences in the past couple of days, because you've been sending me pictures, and I'm really excited about the $1.75 taco.
Well, the main goal on this trip is to consume as much Mexican food as possible, because for whatever reason, New York City doesn't seem to get it right.
It's
weird.
I've
been told maybe in Queens somewhere, but
it's weird because I'm lover of Mexican culture, restaurant person, and I totally see it. I went out to California, and it's completely different. What do you think is the essential difference between California Mexican compared to at least Northeast Mexican?
I mean, I feel like it's about simplicity here. It's just the corn tortilla, warm it up, put the meat on, little onion, maybe cilantro, just super simple, and they're not trying to, you know, put black beans on it or who knows what, you know, I don't know, some sort of sautéed green on a taco or something like that. It's just so simple, and they're doing it right here. So hopefully in New York we can get it together.
What was that coffee place you went to? Is that Strong Coffee? I retweeted it.
It's amazing. So Phil's Coffee in the Mission. It started out as a bodega, basically, and slowly but surely Phil realized that his coffee business was doing better than the bodega. So he started moving shelves out and moving coolers for drinks out, and putting chairs in and just creating a coffee shop out of it. So when you go in, you still see the old coolers from when it was a deli, but now it's just this amazing coffee shop. And we try to get as much of that as possible as well. It's like it's a pour over method, but they put the milk on the bottom. So then when they pour the coffee over, it keeps the milk warm, and it's got just this creamy texture, and it's just awesome.
Well, it's interesting you say Bodega Week, because Eater.com had Bodega Week, and they were featuring different bodegas throughout the five boroughs on different takes on food and stuff. How's the iPad treating you?
It's awesome. Thank you so much.
Did you
everyone,
like season?
Jason let me borrow his iPad. He trusts me.
Well, I know. I did the typical, like, ulterior motive, like, thing. I was like, oh, yeah, I got you season one of Laura Palmer. What is that, Twin Peaks? And then
Twin
I was
Peaks,
like,
yeah.
Well, you know, you have it with you. Maybe you can tweet and go on Facebook and update stuff and just bring it with you everywhere. But, you know, go have a good time. When are you
well,
are you going to be back
exactly.
next? Going to be back next week?
I'm a little nervous. I'll be in studio next week.
I'm a little nervous. One of your friends is here, Jen Tulloch. She wants to say hello.
Hi, Jess. Miss you.
Hey, Jen. Oh, are you going to rap?
No.
I'm not going to rap. I'm here talking about a movie. I may rap. We'll see. We'll see how the day goes.
Jen Tulloch.
All right.
Jen Tulloch, as I love to know her, Jen Atari, friend of the show. Jesse Kiefer, any other last words? You're missing
last words.
No, I mean, you're missing out on an amazing amazing day here at Roberta's. It's like the perfect day that we have an extra hour here with this weather. The hipsters are here, the skinny jeans, the 501s are on or whatever
teaming with hipsters.
We're loving it. I think there was a Mark Zuckerberg sighting here at Roberta's. I don't know. We have to confirm that. See where he is. He might be at South by Southwest, please. I'm saying all these so we can tag these words here on my Twitter, South by Southwest, Mark Zuckerberg, Facebook. Jess, love you, man. Have a good time. I'll see you when you get back.
I love you guys. Bye, Jack. Bye, Jen.
Bye
Bennett.
Cool. We're going to take a break. We're going to come back with Thomas Dunnigan, Senior Sales Representative for Micros Retail Systems, which is a POS system. We're going to talk to him a little bit about that morning after.
This program has been sponsored by the Hearst Ranch. At Hearst Ranch, ranch manager Cliff Garrison describes their philosophy. Raising cattle on grass is both an ancient practice and one that is standard in much of the modern world. Sometimes the old ways are the right ways. We believe that our methodology is the right one for us. For more information on their premium grass-fed beef, visit HearstRanch.com.
We're back here at the Morning After. I am Jason Colucci. Follow me at the Jason Colucci on Twitter, or check out our Morning After page on Facebook.
Sitting one L, two C's.
Right. When, exactly, yes. Thank you. Sitting to my right, I was like, who is that? Who is that talking over my... I'm kidding around. Genitari, Gentolic friend of the show. Sitting to my right is Thomas Dunnigan, Senior Sales Representative for Micros Retail Systems, which is a POS system that is responsible for getting the food to your table faster, as well as consistent for restaurateurs and people to check their numbers and stuff. There's an interesting story behind this. I interviewed you about 2 weeks ago, and the interview went really well, on top of the fact that you're just a great, just interesting interview on other than the micros being a mainstay in restaurants. The one thing that we wanted to really focus on was this iPad kind of application, the GUI that you guys have. What is that all about?
Well, first of all, thanks for having me on the show, Jason.
Anytime.
It's a pleasure to be here. Technology Tom is my nickname from amongst my friends. So, iPad. all right, so I get asked about an iPad all of the time. So yeah. I walk into a restaurant, I've got my traditional touchscreen terminals, which all of them has seen at every restaurant and behind every
you've
bar.
You've had the iPad for... You guys had a touchscreen for a long time.
Yeah, yeah. For longer than we can all remember. So I get asked by restaurateurs all of the time, well, do you guys have iPads? Can I use my iPad? I want to reuse my iPad, or I want my servers to walk around with iPads. And the answer is, sure, we can do that. Do I recommend it? Usually no. I don't recommend that a server walks around with an iPad because it's going to take away a lot from the guest experience.
Really good point.
So if I walk up, now think about just as a server, I'm sure we've all either been servers or have seen them. When a server takes an order, they jot something down on a piece of paper very quickly. They have their own shorthand or they commit it to memory. That's the way the experience should be with the guest and the server. If I had an iPad in my hand, I'm going to be focused on flipping and swiping screens to find your burger cooked medium rare with extra onions and mozzarella.
It becomes about technology, not about the guest experience or even about the server or the restaurant.
Exactly. But we want to embrace iPads. So Micros has let the iPad revolution take its course, and there's been a lot of small companies who have built iPad apps for restaurants. But the problem is all of these iPad app developers are not necessarily restaurateurs, and they certainly haven't been building technology in restaurants for as many years as Micros has, so they fail. Typically.
Yeah, these are geeks that are not necessarily in Cupertino, but might be in Palo Alto or something, that just are trying to replicate the experience of restaurants. And I will vouch for you, because I've been to a couple of different places with it, and I will say the one area I think it does work are like three or four employee-esque coffee shops, where they only have five or six different things, you know, coffee, decaffeinated coffee, macchiato, and stuff like that, and that's it. And it works in there, but when you get into the bigger menu items and, you know, P&L and all that stuff, it doesn't work. It's not there. It doesn't even seem like it's around the corner.
I agree. That's where it will fall apart. You know, you've got a cupcake spot here in the city, Baked by Melissa. I love that place. They use iPads, and that makes sense. They are selling cupcakes.
Yeah, you buy five. One item.
Yeah, right. That's a good application for iPads, but you make a good point. You know, a place that has multiple revenue centers, they've got dine-in, they've got takeout, they're doing online orders, so a customer, you know, orders online, it goes right into their POS. I've got customers who want to have cloud-based reporting. They want to be able to pick up their iPhone and see in real time what sales they're doing at the restaurant. If they got multiple locations, they want to be able to fire up their laptop while they're vacationing in St. Tropez.
Yeah, you know, I've been in the St. Tropez, as we call it, and I've been on some yachts with Steven Spielberg, and I've wanted to check the numbers on some restaurant locations, and you know, I can't get them right away, but now I can, and this is great because now I can go to the Cannes Film Festival and watch the artist and actually be relaxed and when I see it. I'm really excited about that.
You don't have to be stressed out about how your restaurant is performing while you are relaxing.
I'm really excited about that. No, all kidding aside, this is restaurants has always been a joke that they're 10 years behind technology. But I feel like it's pushing more and more forward, and Micros has taken the necessary steps to kind of adapt with it. And the steps we were talking about was...
Very good point. So we have Micros has now embraced the iPad revolution, and Micros this year, before the end of the year, maybe even before the end of the third quarter, will have a Micros app. So that I can either sell a customer an iPad or they can buy their own. But what we're going to do is we're not just going to build an app. We will actually flash the OS in that iPad so that it's going to be a Micros iPad, so that your servers can't press the home screen and play Angry Birds in between tables.
It's the same idea as you would do with normal Micros thing, where you're just on Micros and you could just see the tables or whatever. There's no other, you know, you can't click into your Internet Explorer talking about old technology and go and not necessarily play Angry Birds but Solitaire to talk about old shitty games.
Right.
So it's the same idea, right?
Exact same idea. I mean, our philosophy has always been, if you've got a POS system, that should be specifically dedicated to running your restaurant, not interfering with their service responsibilities. So, I mean, they're going to be on Facebook, they're going to be tweeting, they're going to be doing stuff, not, you know, serving tables.
And this is all going to be on the cloud. I'm talking to Thomas Dunnigan, Senior Sales Representative for Micros Retail Systems. One other question, I won't have a lot of questions for you, but I know, I will say this, that I think that what dealing with Micros, you guys are, there's a whole other side. It's not just the technology, it's the IT side of it, where if there's a problem on a Thursday and you're using some other, you know, program that you bought online, who are you calling? The 800 number, but there's an actual IT division that you call. Talk to me about that.
Yeah, big selling point for Micros is our service backbone. So our office has over 100 employees, and 70% of them are technicians. Because the reality is, your computer can be running fantastic, and it always is when it's slow. But guess when it's going to break, or a printer is going to go down in the kitchen? It's going to go down when you're slammed. It's Friday night. It's 9 o'clock. You've got a full house. You've got three printers in the kitchen, and your hot printer went down. Your grill printer goes down. So what you want to be able to do as a front-of-the-house manager, I know you've been in that place, is you want to be able to make one phone call.
Yeah, and yell at one person.
Yell at one person.
And who's your supervisor? Who's his supervisor?
Let me speak to the manager.
You know how many locations we have? Oh, Jesus. That's the guy from there again. It's that really insecure Sunday brunch manager at such and such restaurant. And, his kitchen printer isn't printing anymore. One guy. No, but you get those calls all the time. But, you know, is there one or two things that that happen that are like just ticks that maybe there's not, that you can just tell the audience? Like to me, one of the things I think of is the quick printer reset. The fact is that if you shut the printer off and you hold the power button and you turn the printer on, it does a quick reset. And that has gotten me through like 60% of printer problems, where it does like a reboot. Is there any other little things like that? Like, is reboots of the thing without, you know, I'm sure you don't want to go on record with saying a lot of stuff, but is there any little things that eliminate phone calls, or like things you can go on the website and look at?
Yeah, there is. There's not much on a website. There's not like a tech blog that you can go to for, you know, common answers. But you're right. So one is the printer. We get a lot of questions with printer errors. Yeah. The printers are designed differently now. That reset technique that you know about is not even as complex. Literally, you can turn off the printer and turn it back on, and it will reset itself. The one thing not to do is never restart your server. You know, our home computers, if it's
that's
buggy,
a common
it's
thing
down.
Though in restaurants, they do that a lot.
They do it a lot.
And normally they do it because they feel like they have to. And this is no against Micros, just, you know, there's a hour or two time somebody has to drive to get there, is they'll freak out and they'll just restart it, and that's like sort of like your air conditioner goes down and killing all the power. It's like the worst thing you could do.
You never want to do it during service. You know, sometimes, sure, the server needs to be restarted. Do it overnight. Wait till the end of the shift. But I'll tell you, if it's not a solution to look for, to have in your back pocket, is make sure your internet's up and running. So there's a lot of problems. People think their POS system is down or is crashing, but it's because the internet is out. And our system has a what we call dial backup. So if your broadband internet goes out, and which I'm talking about processing credit cards, it will switch to dial backup. Now, the difference is, instead of taking 2 seconds to process that credit card transaction, it takes 10 seconds. So everyone freaks out and assumes their system's down and it's freezing up.
They'll get those little old Amex things with that, like, the thing go doom, doom, like, you know, you're buying something at Macy's 25 years ago. Like, that are those old things they pull out. No, I've seen it. Everybody has a crash kit out there. But no, there's that one. That's the next backup thing, which is a basic that kind of thing.
56.6 modem, right?
One of the other things I love about New York City restaurants are, when I contacted you, which is this week, because I really love the interview, is you were like, I love to do it. You know, I have two kids, but, you know, I have to make it work. And no, for me, one of the great things about New York City restaurants is the fact is that people love what they do, and it's a family community. You're a new dad.
Yes.
How old are your kids?
3 and almost 1.
And what are their names?
Liam and Lola.
And you took the time, and I'm sure Sunday is a day off for you. You took the time to kind of like negotiate things with your wife, and she's an attorney, to kind of like come here and just and do it and promote Micros, which makes me say that you generally enjoy working for the company. It's like I'm not giving them any extra time, which you know you see from a lot of different places. Do you notice a different just being in this business? You know, you see, you have a lot of friends probably in technology that run in a lot of different sectors. Do you like working with restaurants, like the, you know, people and stuff? I mean, do you love that factor?
I love it. I mean, that's why I stay doing it. I mean, I love restaurants. I love food. I love the people. I love restaurateurs because it's, let's face it, the hospitality industry is about people, right? So, you know, when I come in and I sit down to the restaurateur, what I'm most interested in is what's this concept going to be? What's the aesthetic? What food are you going to serve? How are you going to do that? How are you going to manifest this vision that you have? And that's what drives me. That's what motivates me, what loves this industry. And I love technology. But it's technology in this field is fun.
Exactly. Thomas Dunnigan, thank you for your time. I know you have to run. We're going to take a break. We're going to come back with Cherise Kramer from Ultra Thin Pizza. We're going to talk about hemp pizza. I don't know what she has here. Please, the FBI, don't show up in the next hour. Thomas, get out of here.
Thanks, Morning Jason.
Back morning after. I'm here with Cherise Kramer. She actually has I don't know what's going on. You know, I played that song Stash from Fish.
Yeah,
Cherise, I knew you're a Fish fan, right?
I took from way back.
I took a wild guess. Well, but, yeah, what is it from way back? Isn't it more the Grateful Dead? Isn't that more is like Fish
wow,
kind of? No, I don't mean that as a derogatory thing. No, I mean like when you say wake Fish is more the contemporary
yes,
of
is,
the stoner bands, and then you got that String Tease incident thing and all those other stuff. All right, first of all, what is in front of me, and am I going to get 10 years in jail for it?
So the good news is...
It's a joke.
Depends on what else you've done, but if it's just because of the things in front of
well,
you,
if I eat
know.
That, if I eat that, technically it'll be a candy flip right now. If I actually eat that, if I... With everything else that's in my system.
Okay.
Yeah, but I'm hoping
you some beautiful hulled hemp seeds, Jen, as well as some hemp flour.
Jen, what do you think of this stuff? Look at it.
Have you tried it?
I would love to try it.
Please do. Often when people hear hemp, Jen, just, you know what they're thinking.
Pop it right in the old bush. Yeah,
absolutely. Go, use the spoon.
Yeah. I can use the spoon?
These are hulled, so they're a little softer. You should get a very smoky flavor, similar maybe almost to a sunflower.
Well, Cherise Kramer...
And take enough that you can really get that taste.
Cherise Kramer is from ultrathinpizza.com. She's someone I met at the show, and same here. I'm not embellishing at all. You were a great interview at the show. You were like one of the highlights of the show in terms of interviews that I did.
Oh, fun. Well, that's because
of... your personality and stuff. And, no, and then...
We were having
and then you did, I don't know what the hell... Like, you were like the ultimate kind of thing, because then when we were wrapped with the show,
right.
You conveniently showed up with all this pizza. And I have to say, I couldn't figure it out, and I'd love to try it again. I mean, I'm not here, but maybe we'll go upstate. Is that the pizza the hemp pizza specifically, right, Bennett? You had it. It was like out of control. I mean, it was amazing. It was so clean and good. And I said to Bennett, did I not say that if I had money, I would love to invest in this company? Did I not say that?
You did.
I did the next thing. I totally said that. But all right, so talk to me about where the company's at, what you guys are doing, and how much of this I need to eat to get messed up.
You got it.
I'm kidding around.
Yeah, these are the hemp seeds. So our company is Ultra Thin Pizza Shells and Flatbreads. So as the name suggests, we make thin crust pizzas and flatbreads in a variety of sizes and shapes. We've been doing it for about 15 years before anyone knew really what a thin crust or a flatbread was. The hemp crust, though, has come up this year. We did a full year of R&D on it. In response, really, to customer requests for a healthier pizza or flatbread.
When you say healthy, you mean more like less oily or just less gluten?
You know, exactly. The perception of health at this stage is something more organic, something that isn't a bleached and a white type of flour. So while we worked with several other flours, the hemp flour seemed to give it a very smoky flavor. It imparted a huge protein level into that you don't normally find when you're dealing with flours. You know, usually they're mostly carbohydrate-based, and this is packed with protein. And it is regarded as one of the best foods on Earth. It is packed with all of the essential amino acids. Without getting too specific,
but is this the perfect food? Maybe this sounds retarded, but is this something that Native Americans were using in their diet for bread before?
They say the Chinese used it as of 10,000 years ago and continue. They also say, without getting onto a political soapbox, it could cure most of the food problems we're having in the world if they allowed it to be grown and utilized a lot more. Now, don't confuse hemp with, you know where I'm going.
Yeah, no, that's a funny thing. I feel like here's my plan, and if anyone has serious money, take this down, because I tend to get some stuff right. If you have $150,000 to put in this, I feel like you should go on Shark Tank. You know that show Shark Tank?
Yeah, sure, absolutely.
I wish you would go on that show Shark Tank for two reasons. And I would get Woody Harrelson as my spokesperson. Because one, I would start doing chains of hemp place. But the in stores or whatever. It was that good. Yeah. I eat food. I go out to eat all the time. I mean, I've done like 4 or 5 doctorates on fine dining restaurants and eating out. Jen too. You didn't have the actual pizza, but it was awesome.
It is. Thank you. And it really is that good. And we have worked very, very hard on it. It kind of wakes up the palate. You know, Dr. Oz, I don't know if you...
No, I know. He's one of Oprah's offspring.
But he, since I last spoke with you twice, he has mentioned hemp on his program. Mm-hmm. He sprinkles it in his salads, which is why I brought those hulled seeds for you. And then they had another guru in there that was showing the benefits of eating some hemp every day. It satisfies you in terms of fullness. It's packed with the proteins. It's the perfect balance of omega-3s and 6s. And he can't say enough about it. And that has been within 2 weeks. I'm hoping
to the game. Where'd you drive from today?
I live in Long Island.
Long Island. You look very Long Island.
Long Island.
I know. Wait, you left. Can I ask you a question?
Sure.
You left before we went on air. What'd you go do? Did you go bacon? Did you smoke weed in the car? Oh, I miss you.
No, you know, I don't. I had to give that up in college.
You did?
Yeah. The paranoia was just beyond me. Sorry.
But that's how messed up the pot is in New York. Because a friend of the show who's actually going to be our next call-in, Matthew Bourgeois, who's a correspondent at large, he you know, has a medical marijuana card. He actually, actually, I was going to say something. I can't say it on here. Something happened to him here in New York a few weeks ago. But I generally think the hardest part about the sell here is taken care of, which was the stuff that you brought us was good. So I think that sells the product there. Who cares about, when you get down to it, who cares about all the other stuff when the stuff is good? It tasted fresh. It tasted clean.
Exactly.
I'm quoting an Outkast song right now, but it was really good.
It should really wake up your palate. You know, it's that different kind of flavor that brings in that other food sense, that umami sense that you don't get that with everything that you're eating.
Where are you guys at now as a business?
We're 15 years old, and we are a serious company. So I always
say that
because you perceive a
you're on the morning after. This is there's four shows. shows that people watch. They watch Meet the Press. They watch Face the Nation.
I like it.
They might watch the McLaughlin Group, but okay. They definitely listen to The Morning After. So there's a four shows that happened, and Mark Zuckerberg was tweeted on our Facebook page today. So a lot of people. This is going to reach a lot of people today.
So I reiterate that to say that it's a mainstream company. It's a mainstream company. We saw the benefits of offering a hemp style crust. We mix it with an unbleached, unbromated flour to keep it in the perception of health and to, in fact, give it some health benefits that you may not typically find in an all-white flour. But my business itself, we service restaurants, hotels, B&Is. We go through food service distributors. It's a legitimate company, and this is a legitimate product.
Okay, so I'm a buyer in a restaurant.
Okay.
And I work out of New York City.
All right.
How do I get your product?
Most oftentimes, you'll have contacted us through our website, www.ultrathinpizza.com, or given us a call.
Did somebody have that already? You guys had to buy that.
No, that was us. We made that.
Oh, awesome.
I own
.org. Sorry.
I got that. That's very good. And we will forward that to either the Cisco, U.S. Food Services,
really,
Chef's
that.
Warehouse. Yeah. Now
so Dairyland sells it.
We love Dairyland. Absolutely.
Oh, really? Yeah. Who can I ask? Is there any specific restaurants in New York City that buy it that we know of?
We have several accounts ranging from hotels to restaurants in the city. Marriott Marquis has been a user of the flatbreads for just as many years as we've been making them.
My neighbors. My neighbor.
Dali. And then we have several single units, and then we have chain units as well across the country that use our flatbreads. The hemp crust, we showed it for the first time at the New York Restaurant Show 2 weeks ago to see if it had some legs.
Amazing.
And from there, it's going to travel to the NRA show in Chicago, and it will premiere there at the beginning of May.
That's the not the National Rifle Association.
Not unless it goes poorly. Then we'll go there.
Well, they can take my hemp piece out of my cold, dark hands. I had some other questions for you. I didn't realize you had that rock on your hand. How long have you been married?
Long enough to deserve this rock on my hand.
Wait, and what part of Long Island did you grow up in?
I actually grew up in Boston. This story gets really convoluted.
No, it's awesome. Yeah. I think you should be a friend of the show. I would love for you to be a friend of the show. I swear. I said to Bennett when we came home, Bennett Jeslik, my girlfriend, okay. I said after we did it, I said that we were talking about great...
So you want one of these shit, right?
No, I didn't say it. I said that you should share I got her a kitten for a birthday.
Okay.
Hey, Ike, what's up, buddy?
I got a Jeep once for my birthday, so my husband got diamond earrings for his.
No, I said about great interviews, and everybody was great, but then I didn't know your company. And out of, like, the unknowns,
right.
I loved your interview. And then I emailed you, I texted you, and it was like a three-day turnaround. I was like, all right, hemppizza.com is holding up to their thing. I want you to hang out in studio in a few seconds. We're going to go to Laura Wirtz at 86list.com. I'll check in with her in the hot job of the week. This is something we do every week. We haven't done it for 2 weeks, so we've been away. I want you're going to hang out, Therese, and for the rest of the show. Laura Wirtz, 86list.com, coming up. We're going to get her on the horn. Bennett, did you have fun at the restaurant show?
I did.
You did?
I loved it.
What did you enjoy about the restaurant show?
Oh, I love the hemp pizza.
It was good. It was a famished.
and the rock. That's what I enjoyed.
Well, no, I was basically admiring. I was running that show like. I don't want to say any bad dictators now. Dictators are so hot. I don't want to be with the trends, the conies of the world. I don't want to follow those trends.
It'll be out tomorrow.
Yeah. No, it was. We were kind of going back and forth on stuff like that. So. We had a good time, but Laura Wirtz, I ran into her yesterday, 86list.com, on the street on Fifth Avenue, walking.
Her wedding soon.
Yeah, her wedding is soon. We replied to it, but she does this. 86list.com is a website that does we do a hot job of the week. Are you guys hiring? How many employees do you have?
We, depending on whether in season or not, we will run a staff anywhere from 25 to 45 people. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, this is awesome. I come up to the facility?
I have like a real grown-up place.
Yeah. No, I know
I
it
actually
is.
Play grown-ups sometimes.
No, I know it is. Yeah. I know it is. But here we have Laura. I can hear her in the background. Laura Wirtz, 86list.com, hot job of the week. Laura Wirtz, are you there?
I'm here. How are you guys?
Laura Wirtz, hot job of the week. Go ahead.
All right. All right. This week's hot job comes from Mirandi, a rustic Italian restaurant in the West Village. They are seeking experienced servers with the knowledge of Italian food and wine, and also morning and weekend availability is a must. With all the warm weather, they're just building their crew for the outdoor dining season.
Laura Wirtz, Mirandi, that's Tony Liu is the chef of that restaurant. I love that place. It's great, just fun, rustic Italian food. It has sort of the echo of a Balthazar, but it's definitely a place you should, you know, I think everybody should check out. I mean, if you follow Page Six and a lot of stuff, you know, Cameron Diaz, Madge hangs out there. I haven't left the Madge camp, but I'm still part of the Madge camp. But Laura, we ran into each other on Fifth Avenue, you and your better half.
Yeah, that's right. I know. I haven't seen you in so long.
It was
long.
So nice
was
to see
great.
You. You look amazing. I know you're on your sort of wedding kind of like cleanse, if you will, probably. You're getting married soon, but you're cleansing very well. Cleansing very well.
Oh, well, good. Thank you very much.
Where were you guys headed? You know, I was. I sent a text to or a tweet to Dan Kluger. I was pissed because 86list.com beat me to it because Dan asked about like a place to eat takeout in Park Slope, and 86list.com said a few different places, but you guys did the safe places. You guys said old Japanese sushi restaurants.
Like he said, my better half actually manages the Twitter account. So.
No, I know, no. It was great. No, it was funny because then I was like, what? Because I saw it and I got back to it and I said to him, I said, check out just Grubhub and what's the other place we do, Bennett?
Seamless.
And Seamless Web. And the thing is, I wasn't saying, you know, who knows what Dan sustainable things he wants. I mean,
exactly.
I was going to go into my backyard and just text me, Dan, and I'll come over and cook some carrots. But I said the cool thing about Seamless Web and Grubhub is, you know, if you're just ADD restaurant person, it just gives you all the information and you can make your own decisions and it shows you places you may or may not have done before.
That's
kind of fun.
True. And sometimes you're in the mood to do that, and sometimes you're in the mood to just, I don't know, go with your standards. So.
Well, Laura Wirtz, thank you for your time. I miss you. I RSVP'd to your wedding, plus one. Myself and Bennett will be coming.
Yay! All right.
So excited.
We're going to be coming, and we're going to take a break. We'll talk to you next week. We're going to come back. We're going to talk to Matthew Bourgeois. He's a blogger at large for The Morning After. He just checked out a new place in Silver Lake, L.A. called Black Hog. Morning After. Thomas Dunnigan just came in with one of his little
cool.
Bundles of joy here, guys. You know, we can hear everything you're saying on the microphones. What are we? What am I listening to here? Is that me, Jack? Oh no, that's not me. We're going to talk to a good friend of the show. He's a blogger at large for The Morning After, Matthew Bourgeois. He just reviewed a place for us called the Black Hog, which is in Silver Lake, L.A., which is essentially the Williamsburg. Maddie, what's up?
What's up, Jason? How are you?
What's going on?
How's everybody doing?
What's going on, good. Everybody? You know, do you miss Roberta's? We got your BFF, Jack Inslee, everybody here in studio.
We had a blast today checking out the L.A. Marathon, though. That was a good time.
Yeah, well, you know what? We're New Yorkers, and we did our half marathon, which is better than your L.A. marathon. I'm kidding around. All of our L.A. audience, we love it. I'm sure it doesn't hold up traffic at all. Donegan just isn't here with his kid. I know that means nothing to you, Matt, right now. But, Matt, tell me about Black Hog, which is
Black Hog with two G's. Black Hog was a blast. Actually, a good friend of mine is a Yelper, and he's in with another big group of Yelpers.
This is weird. I know the Yelp community, right?
Yeah, very, very big out in here in Los Angeles. So anyways, they heard of Black Hog. We went out there to Silver Lake, had a great meal. It's a small, quaint little spot, but great service, great menu. And the uni toast was pretty phenomenal.
Okay, well, you know, you're a blogger at large now. You got to be a little more, you have to articulate yourself more than a great menu. I know you like the uni toast, but no, it's funny because you had texted me directly from when you were there. And Tom, sit down, relax. You blogged me from when you were there, and I saw the photos, and I kind of just got the vibe that you could just tell it was going to be successful. But then you guys, they came over and said hello. They didn't essentially send a ton of stuff out, and they didn't know you kind of were like semi-reviewing the place, but there were some other things that you really liked. Can you talk about a couple of those items?
As far as on the menu?
Yeah. No, not on the menu. The stuff you had after. Yeah, of course, on the menu.
Well, of course, the churros was off the hook. I had that for dessert. It was a chai spice churros with warm walnut oil. The buttery lamb burger was really, really good with a blue cheese spread. That was delicious, and then of course the popcorn bacon I couldn't pass up.
Popcorn bacon. Well, do they do the bacon fat over the popcorn kind of thing? I mean, is that kind of what happens with that?
Just sort of like a tightly riled ball of bacon, and then sort of like flash fried with a maple crema sauce.
And this is one of the alums he actually worked under April Bloomfield, that whole crew, and, you know, opened a place. You know, I spoke to them a little bit this week. They're actually going to come on the show in the next few months. They're in the middle of, you know, they're in the kind of opening process kind of thing. Hold on, Matt, one second. Jen, you guys can split a chair. That's a big chairs here. No, they're in the opening process. We got a full studio here. Jesse Kiefer, eat your heart out. I know you're on vacation, but we're having fun here. So, Matt, you're moving back to New York, and once again, do you remember the hemp pizza reinforcement that we had at the end of the show? Because you did.
Oh yeah, she was great. That was a great interview, and I really enjoyed that pizza. Not just because I had hemp in it.
No, exactly. That's the best part. I said, don't even mention. Like, I feel like that should be like the small print at the end. It'll be like water, flour, 20 other things, and I'll be like, oh yeah, and hemp, like that kind of thing. But dude, you're back in town. We're gonna work on we shot the iPhone video at Dear Bushwick this week. We're kind of editing it right now, and we're gonna work on a couple of more projects when you're back in town. Editor at large for the morning after Matthew Bourgeois did Black Hog out there in Silver Lake, LA. We're gonna skip our break and go right into. Oh, Matt, one sec. You know we did the Olive Garden. We had an insider at the Olive Garden.
Did you really?
Yeah.
I think you had mentioned that to me.
Oh, yeah. Well, we're going to actually, because, you know, we're limited here. We share so much great space here at the Heritage Radio Network with a lot of other shows. So what we're going to do is going to move a lot of other extra content that we do that we like to the morning after page. So anyone that wants to listen to Agent Olive, which we called her, who's not necessarily a whistleblower. I thought it was going to be a whistleblower like Andrew Weigand from the Insider with Russell Crowe. Like, she was going to tell me all about this crazy stuff at Olive Garden. But no, it's a great place to work. Yeah. I mean, you know, there's the funny things us New Yorkers will be like, oh, bread, people order bread, it's free. But that's it. But so people could check that out. So Matt, check it out on the Morning After fan page. Thanks again, Matthew Bourgeois, blogger at large. We're going to go right into our really good friend of the show, Jen Tulloch, Jen Atari. Kickstarter comes up a ton on the show, and I love this thing. You know, the first time I heard of Kickstarter was kind of, not necessarily Kickstarter, but it was on Oprah's show, which was like kind of it was the other side where we're, you know, and this is, you know, go on this website. I don't know the exact website, but it was funding sort of small businesses in Africa. Hang on, Tom, hang on for 5 more minutes. We're almost done. For Thomas,
you can't leave, Tom.
Now you can't leave. We locked the doors. It's like that thing. And it was one of those things about funding small businesses, and of course, go on that. But in the U.S., we have in the world Kickstarter.com, which, you know, for me is great because you can give a lot of money to art fund projects or restaurants. And there's a nice looking gentleman here to your left. What's his name?
Frank Winters. Are you talking about Kiva.org, by the
way? Is that it?
Kiva.
Yeah, yeah. No.
Kiva.org, it's a independent, like, you can become a microfinancer of, like, ridiculously small, not what we think of as a small business, but of, like, someone in Africa who wants to, say, make a very basic, you can lend them, like, $100, and their rate of paying back, and it's a loan, so you can keep loaning out the same $100 for the rest of your life, and the rate of the loans being paid back 100% is like 99%.
You know, I would totally do that, but I would charge them 75% for their ATM fees. That would be my banking thing. It's funny that I remember hearing that, and, you know, obviously that all these websites are great, but I remember hearing about Kickstarter about like 2 years ago. And now it's touching a lot of my friends who are in their late 20s, who are just need a little, you know, key funds or money to
kind of get huge.
What's going on with you? What's the project? It seems great.
To speak a little bit more on Kickstarter, because I do think it's been such a successful outlet for many reasons. One in particular to our project, I think, for creative people who need to fund their project, be it $3,000 or $60,000, it allows you to blanket an incredibly large demographic an incredibly fast amount of time because of social media, and it gives an incentive. There are a couple other fundraising sites similar to Kickstarter that have come after and follow the same sort of prototype, but they don't give the incentive of, if you don't raise the amount of the goal set you've given for your project, you don't get any of the money.
Oh, wow, that's great.
So it gives this sort of ticking clock appeal, where you can say to the people you're appealing to, listen, if I don't, you know, get X amount of money, I'm not going to get it all. So our project, which we are...
So if you go on Kickstarter.com right now, you type
Kickstarter.com,
in what
if you search Red in the Face with LE Neighbors, that's NABORS, or to make it easier, you can go straight to my website, which is gentolic.com.
Yeah, or find it to the
right
morning
on
after
there.
Page.
Or the morning after.
Yeah, but, yeah.
We're floating all over the internet like a bad virus.
It's viral.
Sorry. So Frank, the lovely gentleman here with us today, is, I'm happy to say, co-wrote the script with me, is an incredibly talented upcoming playwright and screenwriter. We work with a great studio, actually right around the corner, right in the backyard of Roberta's, almost literally.
What's the name of the studio?
Nice Dissolve Digital Cinema. You can go
Jack,
to nicedissolve.com.
Nice Dissolve, yeah, he
Pierce
does.
Pierce Verus is a guy who runs the show over there. I've been working with them for 3 years, made a number of films with them, and they're absolutely fantastic.
Okay, so I have... You know, I don't have a ton of money, but if I, you know, figured in my head, I think I do. So I go online and I check it out. What am I investing in, and how much do I get a ticket if I put up, you know, $50? Is that sort of you're pre-selling some shows, or what's the story?
Well, the project is a short film. It's based on an idea that Jen and Pierce were sort of kicking around, and then she called me and was like, "Do you have any thoughts related to this thought?" And I was like, "Maybe, let's talk." That's what happened. Anyway, if you donate money, what you're doing is you are financing the production that we're undertaking here, because we don't have any sort of capital for this. We don't have money that a studio has. They have the equipment, they have the money to sort of throw out these things. But if you donate, you're sort of becoming
executive producer.
A producer.
And there are Kickstarter-specific incentives. They call them rewards. So you say, for our project specifically, if you donate $10 to us, you get a special thanks and a nickname in the end credits. If you donate $50 or more, you're going to get a digital download of our film and a DVD copy. Yeah. If you donate $100 or more, you get a signed copy of the shooting script, et cetera, et cetera. So there are, again, as they call them, rewards on Kickstarter, which I think is really great. And so as an investor, you're receiving something tangible.
No, there's
in
definitely
return,
something.
Right.
And just the fact, I feel like when I was a film major, and you know, 11 years ago when I was raising money for my short film, it was tough. I mean, we didn't have these amazing outlets.
Right.
But one of the things I always felt that was great to tap into in terms of investors were there was a lot of people that went to school that did business degrees that really just wanted to get involved with something. And, you know, I did the whole point system, $1 a point, and tried to raise like $5,000. But I found it really easy to get people to be involved that were, you know, not necessarily bitter artists, but people that wanted to just be part of something. And $100 meant like you were part of like going to openings and, you know, your name was in the credits and
right.
stuff like that. And I know Gentalic pretty well, so I know you wouldn't get behind, you know, anything that you were really involved in. You're extremely talented. So, you know, I think everybody should check this thing out. You know, we should do our second content for the Morning After fan page and do another interview and put it on there. I'd love to talk to you guys more about it. We've got to wrap things up here
Great.
At the Morning After. You know, once again, I want to read one more thing before we go out. Jack, I know we're a little long. I want to read about the Heritage Radio Network show that's coming up. Heritage Radio Network salutes shows that have reached the 100th episode mark. Mazel tov to you guys on March 21st at Santos Party House. You guys can come check it out. Heritage Radio Network hosts will come out to celebrate, and party is open to the public. You can hang out with us. Just don't make eye contact with me. Beer Sessions Radio will be there because there will also be some amazing artisanal spirits, craft beers, wine, cheese, chocolate, charcuterie, along with Heritage Radio Network superstars, the Dave Arnolds of the world, and some of the most innovative voices in the food and drink today. I think it'll be fun for anybody to come hang out and support Heritage Radio. I want to thank all of our guests, Thomas Dunnigan. I want to thank Therese from UltraThinPizza.com, Gentalic crew. What's the name of the Kickstarter thing again so we can get it out there?
You can either go to Gentalic.com. There's a link right on that homepage to the Kickstarter. You can donate there, or you can go to Kickstarter.com and search Red in the Face with Ellie Neighbors.
Awesome. Jesse Kiefer, Jack Inslee, thanks, and nice to see you again in studio. Bennett Jaslik, I'm Jason Colucci. This is The Morning After. You can follow me at the Jason Colucci, Colucci. See you next week.
Thanks for listening to this program on the Heritage Radio Network. You can find all of our archived programs on heritageradionetwork.com, as well as a schedule of upcoming live shows. You can also podcast all of our programs on iTunes by searching Heritage Radio Network in the iTunes Store. You can find us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter for up-to-date news and information. Thanks for listening.